Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And you know who I have with me.
Good evening, everyone, and good evening, Carolyn.
Good evening, Richard. Don't we sound sedate tonight?
Wow, very serious, you know.
I know. It's almost like prom night, you know, all dressed up, nice place to go.
Oh, so true. Just to hang out on the net on BBS, huh?
Indeed.
And who knows what will turn up if you look the right way or listen in the right way, perhaps. Hmm?
Oh, I think lots of things are going to turn up. You know, I've been thinking about some of the incredible guests that we have brought from the other side to bring to you, and some of the stories have been remarkable. You know, I'm thinking of Joan of Arc. I'm thinking of, what is his name? The gentleman from India. Gandhi, yes! Mr. Gandhi.
Yes, that unforgettable fellow called What's-His-Name. I know the one you mean.
Well, it's better than What's-His-Face. And some of the other really incredible people that we have had with such remarkable stories. And I want to thank our listeners for sending in these suggestions. And as you probably are aware, we have a long list of suggestions that our listeners have sent in to us. And then how we decide on who we will have that week, we go over the list. And it's like somebody comes in from the other side and taps us on the shoulder. It's just such a remarkable process. And if you get our email, if you have signed up at the website to get our emails, and Richard, why not give the people who maybe haven't signed up the address where they can sign up for all of our free and beautiful emails giving our listeners such information?
Sure. Just go to the 2020, let me try that again, the 2012countdown.com, which is our primary, I guess you could call it, website, and you can enter your name and email address on the top or bottom of any page on that website and click on the opt-in link when it comes to you, and that's it.
And my friends who have signed up for emails, you would know that tonight, the one who tapped us on the shoulder and wanted to come on the show and give you his viewpoints is Viktor Frankl. And the most remarkable things about this, when we have a guest, I do a little bit of research on their background, and it is just remarkable what we come up with. I know, like last week when we did Joan of Arc, so many incredible things came up about Joan of Arc, how young she was when she led soldiers into battle and died so heroically. And then this week, looking at Viktor Frankl, I was just so amazed. And one of the things that Mr. Frankl is noted for is the fact that he spent, well, first of all, I should say that he was a physician. He has a medical doctor degree and several other degrees after that. He practiced as a neurologist and a psychiatrist. But one of the things that I was aware of was the fact that he was a Holocaust survivor. Mr. Frankl was in the concentration camps for 3 years. And it is just so remarkable that someone could be in such a situation as that and not only survive, but came out, you might say, well, it's hard. I'll let him tell his story about that. But his wife had died in camps, all his relatives. And he only had one relative who survived, and that was his sister. So when you hear the Viktor Frankl story, I think you will be amazed at the strength and the outlook that this gentleman had that brought him through all of this. And not only brought him through it, but he survived, and he came out stronger, and you might say more resilient than ever, perhaps. And I wanted to give people a little bit hands up about Mr. Frankel, because you might not be aware of this gentleman, and I wanted people to know a few things about him. One of his best-selling books was called Man's Search for Meaning, and that particular concept about what meaning means in a person's life and how it gives them a reason to continue living is so important. And I wanted to give you this little thumbnail sketch of Mr. Frankel before we really start into our discussion with him. So, my friends, for those of you who are familiar how we start this out, what I would like to do is sit you in a place, so to speak, that you could pick up this man's energy, so you can pick up his vibrations and connect to this gentleman and have a sense of what this man stood for in life. And how we do that, if you're new to the show, is put your awareness tonight in your heart center. Usually what I do is have people put the image of the person that we have in the third eye, but for those of you who might not be familiar with Mr. Frankel, that would be a little bit difficult because you might not know what he looks like. But put your awareness in your heart center. Take a couple deep breaths and relax. It's very important to relax. And I'm going to ask Richard to connect with Mr. Frankel and give you an explanation of what his energies feel like. And so as Richard gives you that information, I want you to do your best to feel what Richard is describing in the heart center. The heart center is very powerful. It is a group of a configuration of a group, the beating heart, the heart chakra, and the heart mind, triangular in nature, very powerful. So, Richard, would you be kind enough to connect with Dr. Frankel and tell us what you sense about this man?
Yes. firstly, I'll mention something which I haven't, I don't think, mentioned before, and that is one of the things that I notice with the energy of these various individuals, and it's actually one of the ways that I identify the energy of the various individuals as they come forth, is I actually experience their energy across what you might call a horizontal spectrum across the area of my heart. This might sound a bit strange to you, but for example, I experience Isis quite a long way to the left in that spectrum. I experienced Father God fairly well to the right in that spectrum. And so I don't quite know why it arises like that, but that's how it is. And in the case of Dr. Frankel, where I find him energetically in that spectrum is slightly to the left of center, quite a strong, intense energy. There is certainly the energy of love present. But the overriding sense that I have of this man is the intensity of his intention. There is this power of going where he intends or intended to go. It's quite extraordinary. It is a very powerful aspect that expresses through in this way, quite a strong energy, very clear and clean. The man was very genuine in all that he represented and still represents. But this sense of intention is very powerful in the man. Very interesting.
That's beautiful, Richard. Thank you. And what Dr. Frankel said to me when we first started discussing with him the prospect of coming here on the show, he said he had a message that pertained to humanity today. So if you'd be kind enough, Richard, to see what this gentleman wishes to tell our audience, I would be happy.
Yes, let's see what he has to say. And he's here, and he is saying, "My dear friends, I appreciate this opportunity to come forth and to speak with you from beyond that moment of death, that moment of transition, if you will, where one begins to understand a lot more about who and what we are as a soul, as an expression of consciousness. And so I am able to view things from a much broader perspective, you might say, than the one that I had when I was alive. And when I was present upon the planet, I had no awareness whatsoever of the events that are about to unfold in your near future. And yet I see powerful connections between the things that I learnt in my life and sought to teach to others and what is unfolding in your time. And so, firstly, I want to take a moment to share with you the key things that, in a sense, came forth to me in my life. And in a way, it is expressed in the title of that book, Man's Search for Meaning, which was not its original title, but it expressed in the best form what the sense of that book is about. As Carolyn mentioned, I spent some 3 years in concentration camps, and the last of that time was in Auschwitz, which many of you will know was where one of the major gas chambers was. And it was a time when I realized that I could be put to death in those gas chambers at any moment, on any given day. And I was working on a chain gang, working on roadworks, as was the case for so many at that time. And it was incredibly difficult from the human experience perspective. Many of those that I was on that chain gang with simply chose to give up their lives. They simply found that they, for whatever reason, were unable to survive the conditions, the limited food, the very limited clothing, the very cold conditions, and so on. And I came to realize that if you chose to focus on the possibility of life, that even though the odds were high that you might die, that you focused on that chance of life and indeed focused on those things which were very important to you. For me, the most important thing to me in my life in those circumstances is my love for my wife and my passionate desire to meet with her again beyond that incredibly difficult experience. I had no idea that she, in fact, had been put to death in the gas chambers some time before that. However, in a sense, it mattered not, because my love for her, my connection to her, was what gave me that focus to reach beyond that experience. And survive it I did, and indeed I helped many others to survive, and this is well documented. I do not need to spell that out here. However, I wanted to just share that element with you. And as some of you may know, I went on to build a psychiatric practice where I taught people about this, about the importance of finding meaning in your life, that in a sense, as you reach beyond your, you might say, limited circumstances of life. And one of the fascinating observations that I came to make was that there were many examples that came to my awareness, both from within my practice and without, where other people shared the details with me of people who had suffered debilitating injuries, such as becoming a quadriplegic or indeed losing all of their limbs. There was a man who lost all four limbs as a result of electrocution. And he came to understand joy and love and excitement in a way that had never been his experience before that tragic accident. And there were many experiences that I came across of this nature, because those circumstances caused these individuals to look beyond themselves, to find something which had some kind of meaning beyond their circumstances. And so I have explained this to you because I see great parallels between what is beginning to unfold in your world over the next year and a quarter as you approach the end of 2012. It is a time when there will be great change coming forth in your world, great dislocation, and so many people will be asking these kind of questions. What is the purpose of life? What is the point? All the things that I felt I had achieved in my life have been ripped away. What is happening? What is the point to all of this? And so it is a very similar circumstance. In a sense, the coming forth of what perhaps all of you listening on this call are about, and those with whom I work through tonight are about, is to have humanity connect with the deeper truth of who and what they are, that deeper meaning, if you will, that they carry as souls. And it is this connection with that truth, the connection with their creator, that will give them a path beyond this incredibly difficult circumstance that many of them will find themselves in. Those of you that have chosen this path, in a sense, will find life opening up in front of you, as has been expressed elsewhere. And you might say this is the result of having reached in your own way for that meaning beyond your current human experience. And this is really what faces all of humanity. It is not exactly the same as the experiences that I experienced in my life, or for the most part those that I worked with. However, the unfolding of the importance of meaning that has you reach beyond yourself, in this case it is in a sense of reaching within, of reaching for the truth of who and what you all are, we all are, which is great spiritual beings on a human journey. And that sense of meaning, that sense of understanding, is what will have people step beyond their difficulties, in some cases their tragedies, and connect with this unfolding, and in so doing transform their lives and their experience of life and step into that extraordinary unfolding that awaits you at the end of 2012 and beyond. So this is my message to you, to reach out for that meaning in your own life, and to do that by reaching for that spiritual truth within you, that you might say connect with your higher self, that broader aspect of yourself, the soul, if you will, that is that higher aspect of you that has been sent forth to incarnate as you. Begin to open up that connection and to remember who and what you are, and as you do this, begin to understand what life holds for you in the very near term. And so it is.
Thank you, Dr. Frankel. I would like to invite our audience to call with your questions. We have someone here who can give you some remarkable understandings of the human condition. And so I'm going to open the questioning up now. If you have some questions of Dr. Frankel, please call and ask. And Dr. Frankel, I feel that there are many people right now who are having difficulties finding meaning to life. And I would certainly agree with you that to connect to the higher self takes someone to a place where they start to understand who they are, that we are much greater than the individual that we are, or the seeming individual that we are as we walk upon the earth. For someone who doesn't have the spiritual background, though, how would you suggest they go about connecting to their higher self? Did you have some methodology that you used and taught to connect to the higher self?
It was not the focus of my work to open up that kind of connection in that way. You might say, in one sense, it happened by default, in a way, because as you reach for meaning beyond your limited experience of life, if you will, in a way it activates that inner spiritual being. And so it is almost by default that you begin to open this by placing importance on assisting others. This is not about neglecting yourself in the process of doing that, quite the contrary. However, rather, people began to get a sense of this broader nature of themselves in a spiritual sense, as a result of reaching for some broader meaning, some broader purpose in their lives. So it is not something that I specifically taught through the work that I was undertaking.
Thank you for that, and that is good, because unfortunately there are some people who do not believe in this, and so what you are suggesting is you start out by just thinking about it and trying to find meaning in your life, and perhaps the first step is to start thinking of others and trying to help others. Is that basically what you're saying, helping others?
This was a key aspect of what I encourage people to do. However, it was not necessarily a matter of helping others, simply reaching for something which was beyond your current experience, in a sense, that was important to move you beyond your limited circumstances and seek to change those circumstances. However, in your time, I see things a little differently because, as you know, it is intended that rejuvenation of the human physical form come forth as part of the preparatory process, so the physical body returns to a state similar to that which it held in Atlantis, and this needs to proceed before that December 2012 solstice. And so, in a sense, for most people who don't have a sense of their spiritual nature, it will be the sense that will emerge with them in response to seeing this begin to flow across the planet that they need to begin to connect with. And it is this transformation that will lead people to begin to connect within through this transformation process that is about to begin. So the circumstances in your world are in a sense quite different from mine.
I find that very fascinating, Dr. Frankel. Thank you for that. And I am curious about something. You lived at a time when there really was no talk about some of these things, such as rejuvenation. How did you learn about this on the other side? Is this something of general knowledge on the other side, that humanity is going to be going through this process?
It is well recognized by all spiritual beings that this is planned for humanity and for planet Earth. It is not well understood by humanity in general, the important role that this process represents from many perspectives. Firstly, this process at its completion will bring humanity to the point where they will be at the highest dimension, at the highest level of vibration where any beings have taken a physical body. And so the powers that will unfold as a result of this will be quite extraordinary. The ability to create in manners that are quite unique will begin to unfold. And so there is great awareness of this phenomenon that is about to unfold. More than that, however, there is an understanding that the ascension of planet Earth and all upon it will trigger an upliftment for all beings across the cosmos, because, as has been explained previously, in a sense, consciousness rests on its lowest point, which in a sense is planet Earth, being the most dense consciousness where beings exist with a soul similar to humanity. And so, as Mother Mary has expressed, that it is kind of like a vase of consciousness which rests upon its base, and Earth is that base. And so as you lift up that base, so too you lift up all consciousness. And so all beings within creation are aware of this process that awaits them. And so there is great awareness of what is about to unfold upon your beautiful planet.
Well, Dr. Frankel, our audience cannot see me smiling for certain, but as you go through these words, it has brought a big smile to my face, because the words that you are saying, we have heard beings from the other side, the masters, come to our conference calls and say these sort of things to people on our conference calls. And I just find it amazing when you say that it is a general awareness or a general understanding of people on the other side. I find that very fascinating. How has this become aware? I mean, is it something where masters have lectured about it, or is it something where beings on the other side can read our future? Tell us how this awareness came about. I find this fascinating.
There are many ways that this information can be gathered. Firstly, excuse me, it has been understood by most beings for a long time, because this has been planned for a long time. And so this is, you might say, something that is in broad knowledge of perhaps all beings in the cosmos. However, it is also something that the masters speak about. You may be aware that on this side there are many opportunities to study and to learn, and it is up to the individual soul how they wish to progress in that regard. So there are many opportunities to learn further about this if the individual soul chooses to do that. But the understanding that this is going to unfold has long been understood.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Some of your quotations, things that quotes that have come forth and attributed to you, I just find so incredibly beautiful. And one of the things that I'm looking at, that love is the ultimate and the highest goal to which man can aspire. And then, again, the salvation of man is through love and in love. Such beautiful words. Is there anything that you might add to that? Any thoughts, any input? Because I certainly would agree with those words.
There's something that I came to understand through my own challenging experiences, because it was my love for my wife that inspired me to reach beyond my difficult circumstances. It inspired me to, as I say, reach beyond those circumstances and not only reach to survive, but seek to help others to do the same. And I came to understand the power of love. And yet, it is really only since I have been on this side of the veil that I have understood the role that love plays so powerfully within all creation, that indeed the only emotion which truly is experienced by all there is in a direct sense is the emotion of love, and indeed all is created from love. And so it is such a fundamental building block for everything which exists. And I will say that I did not fully understand this in an intellectual sense. However, my understandings of the power of love really arose from the experience of life and seeing how it transformed the human experience, whether it be a love of another human being or the love of God or whatever term you wish to use. But I could see from my own experience and those that I worked with the transformative power of awakening love within an individual's life. And so I have, as I say, come to a broader understanding of the power of love in that absolutely fundamental sense. And I'm excited that I, in my own way, discovered that within the human experience when I was alive.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. You talk about how much you loved your wife and what that love, the direction that love focused you towards on earth and perhaps even now. I am curious about something, though. When you have two people who lived on earth who love one another very deeply, when they both cross to the other side, do they, well, surely they recognize one another, but would you say that they continue to work with one another and share each other's journey? How does that work?
Mostly that is the case. Indeed, it is almost inevitable that those who fall in love deeply and share a life of deep love upon earth have made an agreement before they came to connect and to share their lives. And that indeed was the case with myself and my wife. We are souls that have journeyed together many times, and so we, of course, have connected on the other side once more. And so that is not something that most of humanity understands. This unfolding of life's experience, for the most part, is planned before you ever come. And those individuals that you find yourself drawn to in one way or another, or those who come forth as your children, almost inevitably these choices were made before you ever came into this life. And so It is, as I say, almost inevitable that those who've shared a deep love in their human lifetimes will reconnect once they have both crossed over.
Thank you. Now, after two souls who were greatly in love with one another reconnect, do they have a special work that they do on the other side?
There are no rules in regard to that. There are opportunities to work together. There is a lot of choice about how individual souls might proceed. There is no formula, you might say, though there is that opportunity to work closely on the other side, on similar projects.
I was curious about that because I have heard of some people working together on the other side, and I find that rather fascinating. There is a quote that I also find very stimulating and interesting, and it seems to be perhaps a central thought running through your work when you were here. When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Would you like to discuss that a little bit? Because it's really an uplifting statement.
All of us at various points in our lives are challenged by circumstances which seem to be beyond our control, which seem to limit us in some sense, in some powerful sense. And we are then faced with, as human beings, do we be defined by those circumstances, or do we choose to change our response to those circumstances and look beyond them? Because in looking beyond them, we begin to transform ourselves and, in a way, liberate ourselves from the limitations that exist in those circumstances. And I'm using very broad words because these circumstances could be, for example, severe physical debilitation, or they could be life circumstances which are extremely limited because of the life environment in which you find yourself. It could be a family circumstance, for example, in which you, for various reasons, carry a role and responsibility which has aspects that you do not like. There are many ways that this might come forth in an individual's life. And it is a matter of the individual recognizing that they are much more than the circumstances in which they find themselves. And finding yourself in these limited circumstances is the trigger for great personal growth for the individual if they choose to take it. Many do not. But if you choose to do that and to move beyond that limitation, to look beyond that limitation, it is a tool for tremendous growth for the individual. I witnessed it many, many times in my life. And that is a great challenge of the human circumstance, is to acknowledge those limitations in whatever form they are expressed and reach beyond them. And in so doing, on some level, by definition, transforming those circumstances. In some cases, it will lead to you transitioning out of those circumstances. In others, that is not possible. If you have lost your limbs, unless you are aware of some of the new methods coming forth, you're not about to grow them back. And so those sorts of circumstances, those sorts of limitations in my time were limitations that you could not transcend. However, you could certainly transcend your perception of those circumstances, your response to those circumstances, and make choices in your life to transform your response to those circumstances and to bring, for example, to others the powerful, transformative response that you have created for yourself, and to share that with others who are similarly challenged. This can be of tremendous benefit to other people.
I agree so much with what you were saying, and I think it is so important. Another quote about human freedom: the ability to choose one's attitude in a given set of circumstances. I've seen people dwell on their hardship instead of changing their attitude. And for some, they find it very difficult to change an attitude. Do you have any thoughts or input into that, about changing one's attitude? How do we do that?
It is simply a matter of choice, where you put your focus. Are you going to be defined by the circumstances in which you find yourself? Or are you going to recognize on some level, in some form, that there is much more to you than just your circumstances? And a simple example is to simply acknowledge nature. It is something that we all can do. Even to watch a tree out a window, to see it change as the seasons change, and to acknowledge that process, to watch the birds come and build their nests, to watch their young be fed and fly away, to watch the leaves fall, the colors that come forth in the leaves in the fall, and so on. It can be as simple as that, or it can be much more transformational, in the sense of the individual choosing to open up different paths within their life, to begin to investigate how within their limitations they might move forward for their own benefit and potentially for the benefit of others. And so it is simply a matter of choice. What thoughts do you think? What choices do you give yourself? What is your response to the situation you find yourself in? Is it to acknowledge where you are and look beyond it? That is a habit that humanity in general needs to build, to look beyond your circumstances for what can unfold. And if all of humanity did this, life would be very different for so many people upon the planet. And it is as simple as that. That is my simple formula, in a sense, to simply choose your response to the circumstances and to look beyond them. Do not be defined by them. That is the key issue. You are not defined by your circumstances in any sense unless you choose it to be so.
Beautifully powerful words, Dr. Frankel. One of the words that I like to use in this is intention. And we can intend to change our circumstances, and we're probably both talking about the same thing, just using a different word.
Yes, intention is far more powerful upon your planet than most people realize, and it is something that I have come to understand better since I transitioned. It is a powerful tool. Where you focus your intention, what you intend to do, begins to move the particles of your experience to be in alignment with that intention. It can be rapid or it can be slow, depending on the circumstances and depending on what other forces are at work to limit you, in a sense. Your past life karmic energies, for example, can have a major impact on this until they are cleared. But if that intention is strong enough and you carry that intention regardless of what unfolds to prevent you, that intention on some level, in some manner, cannot be helped but be fulfilled. It may not be fulfilled exactly in the way that you envisioned it when you set out, but on some level, in some manner, it must be fulfilled. This is not understood by so many.
Thank you, Dr. Frankel. We're an hour passes so quickly. We're in the last 10 minutes of the show, if you can imagine this, Richard. It's gone so quickly, and I want to thank you, Dr. Frankel, for all of your beautiful words. And the reason for me bringing this up is that if our listeners have a question for Dr. Frankel, now is the time to call in, because there's not much time left of the show, and I don't want you to miss the wisdom of this great man. Another quote here, attributed to you, Dr. Frankel, is, "Love is the only way to grasp another human being in the innermost core of his personality." And would you like to elaborate on that a little bit, or could you elaborate a little on that?
There are so many threads of a human being that one can grasp, that one can react to. And so many people react to aspects of an individual that grate with them or clash with them. And really, the heart of every individual is love. And when you acknowledge this truth, and when you begin to see it in others, it allows you to begin to connect with the core of that individual in a way that you cannot otherwise do. And in so doing, what you inevitably begin to connect with is the strengths, the more, you might say, honorable qualities of the individual. And so it is also important, when you are seeking to heal someone, you might say, to have them move forward from their challenging circumstances as they see them, to connect with those truths within them. And in so doing, you can then give them a path to move forward. And so it is not just about how you connect with the people that you come across in life, in the living of life, but indeed also as a practicing clinician. It was something that I came to understand was very important. And so it is such a fundamental aspect of relating to all people upon the planet, to understand that at the heart of everyone, they are that expression of love.
As I said, thank you for your wisdom. I have found that so much of what goes on with an individual is their perception. And by simply changing a perception, you can change your whole attitude. Is there anything that you might add to that about perceptions and attitudes with regards to people?
Your words align very closely with the things that I shared in my life, because in a sense, reaching for a sense of meaning beyond your circumstances is all about changing your attitude, changing your perspective. It is so easy to have your perspective, your attitude, defined by your circumstances. And when you do that, you begin to close in. And so if you are in challenging and difficult circumstances, as clearly I was in my time in the concentration camp, then you will shut down. You will indeed have a very high likelihood of dying. And so choosing your attitude, choosing your perspective, choosing what you give meaning to is such a fundamental aspect of the living of life. It is so important, and so few of humanity truly understand this. And I will say that I recognize that so much has been done by those who have controlled humanity for so long. So much has been done to have them shut down, to have them see themselves as weak and ineffectual and needing others to take care of them, when this is so far from the truth of what it means to be a human being that it is laughable. And yet that is what has happened. And so in a way, what I was teaching, and in a way what you are teaching, runs counter to the powerful forces that have been at work in the world to have humanity forget the power that they truly carry as individuals.
Dr. Frankel, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for your wisdom, and I trust that your words will cause people to think about their attitudes and changing their perceptions. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
It was my pleasure to come forth to contribute in whatever small way I am able to assist those who are listening to this show or shall listen to the recording to, in their own way, grasp a little better what is unfolding in your time and how best to approach this time.
And again, thank you. And Richard, I want to thank you for your service in bringing Dr. Frankel's words forth. And I think his visit today was particularly apropos to what's going on in the world today. And there's a lot of confusion. We hear it in the news all the time of tragedies and struggles. And I think Dr. Frankel's words, and not only his words, but his example, is very important today.
I would agree. I think that, the evidence is that the financial circumstances are likely to get a lot worse quite quickly, the way things are beginning to unfold. And if that is so, then a lot of people are going to be very challenged in their lives. And so there is a need for people to begin to grasp what is happening and to grab hold of it and be part of it.
Yes, he has come forth with words that will give direction, hopefully, to people who might need it at the moment. Richard, we have 3 minutes, not much time. Is there anything that you wish to say, maybe quickly, about some things we have on the drawing board or something new that we have established?
I will mention the ebook that we put out about 2012, The Truth About 2012, which is generating tremendous interest out there. And if it's something you haven't caught up with yet, then I encourage you to do that. You can go to thetruthabout2012.com, which is the website where it's at. Those words each have a dash between them. So the truth about 2012 with dashes between them will get you to the website. And there is information coming forth there which has never been shared elsewhere, and a powerful message from a prime creator, or all there is. In fact, a couple of messages there which are very much connected with what's unfolding and the circumstances of what's unfolding. So it's powerful material, and we've released it initially at an introductory price of $9.95, so I encourage you to grab that while you can, while that pricing is in place, and gather that incredible material that's come forth there. Something else that's very exciting, which hopefully we'll get to release soon, we have finally, Carolyn and I, completed the material that we've been bringing forth from the Templars, the Knights Templar, and that is amazing material, which we have finally taken the last installment of that material, and so that will be packaged up in the form of DVDs and so on, so we can release that hopefully in the not-too-distant future. Quite extraordinary material, the understandings of who they were and the work they were doing.
I would like to add to that that we actually have gotten this Templar information directly from the Templars of the day, and what we have brought forth you haven't heard anywhere because their information was secret. So for now, good night to all of you beautiful people out there. And again, thank you, Richard, for your service.
Thank you, Carolyn, for making it all possible.
Good night, everyone. Till next week.